So, who uses Instagram?
Every day.
Yeah, like a lot of us, right? It's actually the fastest growing social media network, that and Snapchat, and there, it's not the largest. Facebook is still the largest, but Instagram is actually the fastest growing one, and obviously it's designed to share photos and video. A few years ago, they added video. I don't know whether you guys realize this or not, but the first version of Instagram was just pictures. There was no video. But you get these pictures, these videos, these frozen moments in time on Instagram. And the reason that it's, or one of the reasons, I guess, that it is so popular and growing in the way that it is because it's visually driven, right? It's photos. It's not just text, like, you know, like Twitter at first was just text and all that. And even on Facebook, you may notice on Facebook, a lot of people's posts now have are mostly pictures. When you're scrolling through your feed, if there's not a video or a picture, more than likely you're not stopping, right? There's something in social media marketing that's called stop the scroll. And that's something that you try to get people to do when you're doing social media marketing, is to stop the scroll. And one of the ways that you can do that is through photos and video and graphics, and even your posts in Facebook now, you can put like graphics behind them and stuff, and like funky like gradients and things like that behind your text, you know what I'm talking about? And those things are all designed to get attention. And when we look at Instagram and we look at really what it's for, you've got these pictures and these frozen moments in time that are unchanging, and that once it's there, hear me on this, once that picture is there, once that video is posted up there, now it's kind of frozen there and it's unchanging. And we all want to look our best, right? Like, how many of us take like 14 selfies before we get the right one? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, some of you had the guts to raise your hand, and the rest of you just didn't raise your hand because, you know, I don't know why, but we've all done it. You know what I mean? You set it up at the right angle. I know there's a few people, like, they always take it from up here because you can't see my chins, you know, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We all want to look our best when we're putting a picture out there. So what I thought would be cool to do at the beginning of this right now is to take a picture for Instagram, for our Instagram, of all of us as we start this series together. And we all want to look our best, right? Because when we're putting our picture on social media, when we're posting on social media, we want to look good. And we want to make sure that we look good. So JL's going to take a picture of all of us right now for the Connect Instagram. So everybody be ready. That is the iPhone 10. So everybody be ready for it, all right? So make sure that you're looking good. Make sure that you're looking good, all right?
All
right,
everybody smile.
Good job.
Thanks, Dale.
All right, so if you're not following us on Instagram, follow us at Connect316 and you'll get to see yourself. Probably looking pretty good because you had a minute to prepare, right? You had a minute to get the smolder on, right? The, you know, or the duck face or whatever you got to do when you take that. You know, when you take that picture, you take that selfie and you put it up there. But you know what? We all want to have our best picture on social media and the best version of us go out there on social media. Nobody wants the bad pictures of us on social media, the embarrassing pictures of us on social media. It wouldn't be good if there was somebody there taking pictures and posting like our negative moments. Nobody wants to see that. You know, the moments when we're like embarrassing ourselves, because Instagram creates a picture of who we are, right? And so we don't necessarily, we want to be able to control who we are. What? But here's the deal. In Jesus' day, there were no cameras, there were no, there was no video, there was no social media, but there were writers in the gospel, and there are a number of pictures of Jesus that we have of him and of the disciples, and while we like to, on social media and publicly, be able to kind of paint the picture of who we are to everybody, these pictures that are painted of the disciples and Jesus, that if they were alive today, probably would be a lot of bad pictures on their social media feed. If we could put some pictures of the disciples, and one guy especially, that if he had like a social media feed or like a, you know, a Twitter account or something like that, an Instagram account that was like, you know, Peter failing, you know, hashtag fail, would be Peter, the Apostle Peter, because of the things that he did that were just like completely like, you got to be kidding me, dude, because he was stubborn, he was hot-headed, he was brash, he was impulsive, but at the same time, he was an amazing man of God. And it took those things for him to go through those things. And we get these pictures of him painted in Scripture of him completely falling on his face, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, and screwing up because he couldn't get out of his own way. And we do that a lot of times in our own life, and sometimes that's reflected on social media, and other times it's not. Or maybe it is, but accidentally. And so I want you to see this guy, and I want you to see the picture that's painted of him, of Peter here. And so if you got your Bible app and you're following along here, we're in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20 is where we're going to start. It says this: one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, and they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." Verse 20, they left their nets at once and followed him. So Jesus was an amazing man, right? And these guys didn't think twice. Jesus comes in, he's a rabbi, and they knew in the day like what that meant for a rabbi to say, "Come follow me." There's a whole lot to that that I won't get into. But for him to say that to them, these guys that were fishermen, and if they were fishermen, that means that they weren't good enough to go in and be a rabbi and follow a rabbi years ago when they were younger. So for Jesus to come to them and say, "Follow me and I'll teach you to fish for people." And they're like, "Peace out. Yep, going with this guy." Instantly, they did that. And that's a great moment of them just not even thinking twice about this. And that's how we should be when Jesus says, "Come follow me." Because sidebar, he's saying that to all of us. Jesus is saying that to all of us. "Come follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for people." Jesus is saying that to everyone. And while it's true that they left their jobs, they left everything instantly and followed Jesus right then and there. But when you keep reading, you see that Peter does a lot of things without thinking twice. And we do that too. Because we like to ask for forgiveness rather than permission a lot of times, don't we? We do that a lot of times. And you maybe haven't thought of it that way, but in many ways, we ask for forgiveness rather than permission when we do things. Peter didn't think twice to proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God. Later on in Scripture, Jesus says to him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus praises him for his faith and for his recognition of him being the Messiah. Because Peter says, like right away, he's like, "You're the Messiah. You're God. You're the Messiah." And without thinking twice, Jesus he says that. And then Jesus begins to tell the disciples about what would happen to him and that he was gonna be killed and all that. And without thinking twice, Peter goes, "No, you ain't. And I'm not gonna let it happen. I'm gonna make sure it doesn't happen." And he like, you know, starts to be like, you know, they're gonna have to go through me. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." I'm like, what? This guy goes from being like amazing at his recognition from Jesus to Jesus calling him Satan because of that. And it's because he didn't understand Jesus' mission. Peter didn't understand the mission that Jesus had, because for him to not go to the cross, for Jesus to not go to the cross for you and for me, was to give up the primary mission that Jesus had on this earth, which was to conquer Satan and death and hell and all of those things. And for him to not go to the cross meant Satan got the victory. And Jesus wasn't about to let that happen. But Peter was not done making kind of stupid, reckless decisions, because in the garden, you may know this story from Easter, they come to arrest Jesus, and Peter draws his sword and tries to kill one of the guys, and he misses and cuts his ear off. He clearly was not that coordinated. I don't know how you actually cut somebody's ear off and miss their head. Like, that's very precise. I don't know. Weird. But the thing is, Jesus then calls Peter out on his actions, and he's like, "Dude, really?" You know, and makes him stop. He heals the man's ear, and then Jesus goes off to fulfill his mission for what he was supposed to do. But Peter and John follow behind, right? They follow behind, and they're in the temple courts, and it was there that Peter actually made one of his most famous instant decisions of his life. Peter would deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. We hopefully you've heard that story. If you haven't, you're about to. So listen to this. Jesus predicts that this is going to happen. And Peter says, I will never deny you. Listen here, Luke chapter 22, starting verse 54. So they arrested him, meaning Jesus, and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. And finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. And, like, you can totally see him doing that. You know what I mean? Like, instantly. I love how it says, a woman? He's, like, right away saying, no, I didn't do it. And after a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he's a Galilean. Verse 60, but Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Peter was warned that he was going to fall away. He was warned that he was going to do this, and he didn't listen. He even knew that this temptation was coming. At least he should have. And he instantly decided to say that he never knew Jesus. And that's not a great picture to be painted of someone. And we've all been there and done that. We've all been there. We've all been in Peter's shoes. We've been in that place where we know we should do something and we don't. Or we know we shouldn't do something, and we do. We've been there. Somebody's picking on a kid at school, and we don't stand up for him. Or we don't tell others about God when we have the opportunity, and we know we're right then and there, and we don't. We don't stand up for our faith when we're weak, and we deny Jesus by not standing up for our faith in those moments. We all make bad decisions. We're guilty of it. We're all guilty of making bad decisions. We said something mean to a friend or a sibling or an adult, and people carry these Instagrams around in their mind of who we are. And they carry these pictures in their mind of us maybe being mean or careless or unkind or hateful or reckless or disobedient and sinful. And we can't change those pictures, and we can't erase them. Here's the thing. You can delete pictures off Instagram, but don't ever think that they actually go away. Couple of reasons. Number one, anybody can screenshot them. But the thing is, you've heard the phrase before, I can't unsee that. Sometimes we post things that get burned into people's minds, and we can't unsee that. Can you imagine the picture? This gets me every time. Can you imagine the picture in Peter's mind that was burned into his retinas after he denied Jesus for the third time, and the rooster crows, and he knows exactly what he did, and he looks up, and Jesus is staring right at him. Can you imagine what that look was from Jesus? Could you imagine what Peter was feeling in that moment? The level of probably disappointment in himself. I mean, I don't even know what to say. That has to be one of the worst. That had to be one of the worst things that was burned into his retinas, like I said, for the rest of his life. He didn't need Instagram to probably remember that moment, to remember that look for the rest of his life. How many of those in our life do we have that maybe we've been a part of for other people, or other people have been a part for us? We've all been there, done that. We can't erase them. We can't erase those moments. But here's the good news. I'm not trying to, like, you know, get everybody down right now. But I want to be real with you guys. We need to be real about this. I'm not going to sugarcoat things for you guys, but I do want to give you an encouraging picture. Because for Peter and for us that night, Jesus was on his way to be punished for Peter's sin and for my sin and for yours. From a guy that did nothing wrong, he was absolutely sinless, and he gave his life to cover that sin. And Jesus' death, resurrection is the one thing that can wipe our slate clean and make us white as snow, can actually get rid of that. And can you imagine how Peter must have felt when Jesus rose from the grave and he says to Mary, who's the first person to see Jesus alive, and this is what Jesus says, he says, go tell the disciples and especially Peter that I'm alive. If I'm Peter, I'm like, oh, crap. You know what I mean? Like, what in the world? I'm going to get drilled when Jesus shows up. He's going to just, oh, man, I'm in a lot of trouble, right? But Jesus had no intention of bringing condemnation on him or coming down on him or making him feel like crap. In fact, it was quite the opposite. He forgave him for all three denials, for all three times, because he loved Peter. And Jesus actually chose to use Peter as one of the founders of the church. This guy who was completely reckless, completely stubborn, did his own thing, didn't think before he acted, virtually not very many times, especially if you look through the Gospels up until the book of Acts, when he actually becomes the Apostle Peter to start the church. In the Gospels, in the stories with Jesus, he's always like the boofus. He's like, really, dude? Like, reel it in, man. Like, think for 1 second and you won't almost drown. You know, like those kinds of things. But he needed those things because he was one of the leaders. When the Holy Spirit came on him and the other leaders on the day of Pentecost, and then he went out and preached and 3,000 people. I've preached to quite a few people before. I've never preached to 3,000 people, but I can't imagine preaching and 3,000 people coming forward, getting saved and baptized. Peter did that in one day. That was a long baptism service probably. But you know what? Worth it. Probably awesome service. This guy who did all those things, who was not good enough, God did amazing things with him. And he even followed Jesus in death. I don't know if you know this. It's not in scripture. It's actually in some of the other books, like I think Josephus and some of the other ancient historians. Those like ancient history books talk about how Peter was crucified at the end of his life. He was crucified like Jesus, but he looked at him and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was. Crucify me upside down. And he was crucified upside down. We need to be encouraging to others, though. See, the thing is, these pictures that we paint of ourselves and to other people, we're so worried about how we look that we don't think twice about how it's coming off and about the picture that's being painted. We can be an encouraging picture. Just like when we see what happened with Peter once he kind of got his head out of his butt, and Jesus and God started using him in amazing ways. Look at the encouraging picture that we're told to paint here. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Peter wasn't any of those things right at first. And you know what? A lot of us aren't either, especially on social media. We're actually the complete opposite. We are quick to become angry, quick to speak and puke our opinion out there on everything, and don't feel like listening at all, ever. We just kind of scratch that one off, don't we? Majority of us. I mean, look through the feeds. Look through your news feed on Facebook. Don't do it right now. But you know what I mean. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a verse. I know I say Proverbs 13:20 all the time, and yes, that one is an awesome verse. But this is another one. You take this last part and you pray this every day. Lord, help me to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You will eliminate a lot of drama in your life if you're having the Holy Spirit lead you in this direction. Because too many times we are the complete opposite of those things. And then Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But we should build others up, and we don't. We're good at building ourselves up, on social and Instagram and all the places, and we're really good at tearing other people down so that we look great. But what if we did it the other way? What if we were encouraging? What if we used these avenues of communication that we have that are amazing? Don't get me wrong, I like social media as much as the next person, but they can be just as big of a detriment and of a negative as they can be a positive. And more times than not, they're negative, but they could be such a positive. We could be encouraging and loving and uplifting. We need to slow down, think, and pray. We need to slow down, think, and pray. These are the lessons we can learn from this. If you walk out of here with nothing but this, and you remember this, even tomorrow, if you remember this part, 24 hours from now, I promise your day will probably go a little bit better, and you'll have a little less drama, or you'll get yourself in a little less trouble. In life and on social media, slow down, think, and pray. Think twice. Don't not think twice. God gave us these pictures of Peter to encourage us to do these things, to slow down, to think before we speak or post. To pray that we'll make wise choices. Even just to slow down, think, and pray that you'll make wise choices. I dare you to do that every day before you go into school. Every day when I drop my kids off at school, I pray with them in the car. It's the last thing we do before they jump out. And I pray that they'll make good choices during the day, that they'll make good decisions and wise choices. And if they do nothing more than that during the day while they're in school, that could at least help them get through the day better. I want to challenge each and every one of you to pray before you go into school. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out prayer. You don't have to, whatever. As you're walking into school, just pray. God, help me to make good choices today. Help me to slow down and to think and to pray. We say things without thinking. We make decisions that lead us into trouble. And it doesn't mean that God can't use us, though, because that's the other big lie that we tell ourselves through these pictures that get painted on social media, is that, oh, God can't use me because I'm trash. God can't use me because I've done this or I've done that. God doesn't want me. That could not be further from the truth. God used Peter to build the church, an impulsive, stubborn, hard-headed, hot-headed guy like Peter to build the church. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that guy. And and imagine what he can do with you, though. Imagine what he can do with you. What could he do with your life? Because the pictures that people carry of us in their minds and on their newsfeed, in their phone, if we're Christians, our pictures of us should reflect Christ. So let me ask you this question, and this is kind of just a tough, like brass tacks, like getting down to it. If we want to make instant good choices, we need to pray that God's going to give us the wisdom to make good choices when the time comes and to not be caught off guard. So let me ask you this. Does your news feed reflect Christ? Does your Instagram feed reflect Christ? That doesn't necessarily mean that like every picture you post on your Instagram needs to be like a Bible verse, or you screenshot ABT's Instagram and post it as yours or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm saying is that, are there things in there? Let's ask it from the opposite perspective. Maybe that's a little bit better. Are there things in your feed or in your story on Snapchat? Let's get real. People are watching your story, and then they find out you go to church. Are they going to be like, what? You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen some stories. I've seen some Instagram feeds. I've seen some Snapchat stories that are pretty disappointing, that are pretty questionable when it comes to somebody who is supposed to reflect Christ and the picture that I'm seeing, that I'm coming across, the story that I'm watching. I can imagine how Jesus would be looking at it. But we don't think of that, do we? We don't think at all. We just post our verbal diarrhea. So the connection point for the night. You have the chance with social media to paint a picture and to post a picture and create a feed. But let the pictures that people see of you be a positive reflection of Jesus. And I don't mean just in your Instagram feed. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand the analogy that I'm using here. I'm not just saying that your Instagram feed specifically needs to just be all Jesus stuff. That's not what I mean. The picture that people have in their mind of you, when I think of you, when I think of you, when I think of you, when you think of me, are you thinking, you fill in the blank with a person. Are you thinking about somebody who's a positive reflection of Jesus? Or is it something else entirely? We have the chance to do that. And many times, statistically speaking, generation absolutely fails miserably in this particular category. So let me challenge you, because Jesus is asking nothing less than everything from you. He's asking for you to surrender everything. Mike did a great job of talking about this last week in terms of persevering when times get tough. You want to talk about a place that maybe you need to think twice before you post, and you need to persevere through and maybe begin changing that picture of what people are thinking, because you've potentially created an alternate reality of who you really are, because we all do that on social a little bit, right? Let the pictures that people see of you be a positive reflection of Jesus. Everybody bow your head. I don't mean for this to be a come down on everybody sort of talk, and I hope you guys don't hear it that way. I hope you hear it from a place of love and from a place of wanting the best for you. And God wants the best for you. And I know that there's potentially some people whose stories and pictures in your mind of them have maybe completely tainted what you think of God or what you think of this or what you think of that. But the picture of Jesus is nothing but love. The picture of Jesus is nothing but love and sacrifice, love and acceptance, love of you just as you are. And he'll take you just as you are and then transform you, because he loves you too much to let you stay there. He loves you too much to let you stay right where you're at. He wants you to move forward. Some of us, I think, in here, I hope you're challenged to let your Instagram feed, your whatever social media feed, your Snapchat story, to reflect Jesus maybe a little bit more, or just not reflect some of the nasty stuff that it has. I hope you've been challenged in that way. But some of you maybe need to talk a little bit more about, or you need to talk with Jesus a little bit more about where you are with him. Because maybe the reason that your feed and the picture of you that's been created in the public court of opinion is because you haven't even begun a relationship with Christ. And maybe you need that relationship with Jesus to begin. And so if that's you, I would love to talk to you tonight. If you are not 100% sure that you have a relationship with Jesus, that you're going to heaven, we need to start there, and we'll worry about your Instagram feed later. But you need to start there. And if you're not 100% sure, I would love to talk to you tonight. I'd love to have a conversation with you, maybe answer some questions, or just talk through whatever it is you're thinking. So with everybody with their head bowed, eyes closed, I just want to know if there's somebody here that wants to have that conversation tonight. You want to know more about having a relationship with Christ. Would you be willing to just look me right in the eye tonight? Anybody? And we can talk. Father, I love you, Lord. Jesus, I thank you for this great night that we've had. I thank you for the fun that we've had. Thank you for the attentiveness of these students. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for a guy like Peter, Lord, who we can learn from his mistakes. We can see ourselves there, but God, we can also see his triumphs and how you can take somebody and you can mold them and change them and do something amazing with them. And you can change the world with the least of these. Father, I pray that you would do that in my own life. And Lord, I pray for these students that you would do that in their life. Because God, I know that you want to use each and every one of them to rock this world for you. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray they would make that decision tonight or at least begin asking questions to move that direction. Thank you for the great night that we've had. Thank you for the food we're going to have. In Jesus' name, amen.